Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Abraham, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi Shabbos Daf Yud Gimel, where five lines from the top says the Gemara. Kayoitzibay lo yechal ha'azav him azava. The Mishnah taught us that a zav should not eat together in unison with a zava. Why? Mipnei hergal aveira may come to bring them to sin, to aveira. Now it's interesting that the Mishnah cautions the zav, who is tamei, not to eat together in unison with the zava. Why does the Mishnah present this halacha strictly in this manner, in this scenario of a zav and a zava? Why doesn't the Mishnah mention that a tohor shouldn't do the same with a zava? Apparently, there was no need for the Mishnah to caution one who is tohor, who is pure, against eating together with a zava, because he wouldn't do so. He wouldn't want to become tamei. Says the Gemara, indeed, the Tani, we learned in the Braisa, Rab Shimon Elazar Omer, Boyure, come take a look. Hadheichon partza tahara b'Yisrael. How widespread, how strengthened tahara, the concept, the phenomenon of eating food in a state of tahara, even chulin, which doesn't require tahara. Nevertheless, Yidden were very careful to maintain their tahara. How do we see this? From our Mishnah, Shalei Shanino, because we don't find any precaution against lo yechal ha-toyer ma-tmeya. The Mishnah doesn't tell us that a toyer shouldn't eat with a tmeya. Rather, ela lo yechal ha-zav im-azav, that a zav shouldn't eat with a zav, but play hergal avera, on account that it might come to avera. Apparently, there was no need to caution and to warn a tamei from getting involved with a zava. He wouldn't do so on his own in order not to become tamei. So the caution in the Mishnah is merely presented to a zav for fear that he indeed will go ahead and eat together with a zava. So the Mishnah tells us he shouldn't do so. He shouldn't eat in unison as not to come lidei avir. Kayaitzibay continues the Braisa, we have a similar precaution in the following case. Chacham told us, L'yoychal zav parish, im zav amaretz. A zav parish is one who is scrupulous regarding maintaining his level of tahara, his level of purity. So even when he's a zav, and he's tummy, he shouldn't eat together with a zav amaretz, an ignorant zav, who's not careful regarding these matters. Why? Shema yargilenu etzloi, because he might become accustomed to his company. So what's wrong with that? What's the matter with that? Ela'ema. Rather, the concern is as follows. The concern is that the Amaretz might feed the Parash items which are Tamei. Says the Gemara, but the Parash, in this case, is a Zav. He's already Tamei. So there's no concern. Atu Zav Parash lav Dvarim Tmeim Achel. The Parash who is a Zav, is he not eating Dvarim Tmeim as well? So why is there a concern with him eating together with the Amaretz? Amar Abaye, the concern is a different one. Gezerah, Shema Yachilenu Dvarim She'enu Mesukanin. We're concerned that the Amaretz, who's not careful with Trumas and Maestras as well, he may go ahead and feed the Parash produce, which was not Mesukan, which Trumas and Maestras were not removed from. And therefore, he should not eat together with the Amaretz. V'Rav Amar, no, that can't be the concern. Roiv Ami Oretz, Ma'asrenheim, most Ami Oretz do take off Meiser. Therefore, there's no concern in the Parash eating with Am Oretz. Now, although we know that if one buys produce from an Am Oretz, it has the halacha of Tamai and the halachas of certain Turus and Meisers that need to remove from it. Nevertheless, that's only Midrash Rabbanon. Since Midrash Roiv, majority of Am Oretz do observe the halachas of Turus and Meisers, so it's only a Din Rabbanon, only Xer Rabbanon, which requires certain halachas of Tumas and Maisers to be applied to produce bought from Amaretz. We're concerned that there were no Tumas and Maisers removed, or not all of them. So, in that case, it's only a Gzera d'Rabbanon. Therefore, Rava maintains that the Rabbanon would not add another Gzera to that, would not prohibit a Parash eating together with the Amaretz, for concern that he might feed him produce that was not Maisert. That's a Gzera on top of another Gzera. This gzera of not eating together with a amaretz is for concern, is a safeguard that he might give him, for concern that he might give him something, some of his own produce, where in that case, midaraisa, it's really mutter. There's a gzera derabbanon regarding produce received from amaretz. So here we have a double safeguard. Don't eat with him because he might feed you. What might he feed you? He might feed you something which is asur midrabbanan. So it's a gzeira on top of a gzeira, and there was no isur applied in this case. So that can't be the reason why the Braisa tells a parish not to eat with Amaretz. Ella, but rather the reason is as follows. Shema yehi rogel etzlei, because he might become rogel, accustomed to his company. V'yachilenu dvar t'mei me'mei ta'arasei. And when the parish becomes tor, he might continue frequenting the company of the Amaretz. And in that case, if the Amaretz feeds him something which is tamei, it's going to be a davar tamei b'mei ta'arasei in the days of tahara. And the parish is going to consume food which is tamei when he is tor. Therefore, the Chachamim prohibited the parish to engage with the Amaretz, to eat together with him, even when they're both tummy, for concern that this might continue, this practice might carry on even when the parish becomes tar. In that case, he might end up eating dvar tmeim. So how do we understand Abaye's approach? Abaye says there's a gzera that he might feed him dvarim she'enim sukanim. Rava says it's only a gzera drabbanon. So how could Abaye apply a double gzera? So the Rishonim explain as follows, that in this case, the concept of gzera doesn't apply. Abaye holds that eating together in unison with the Amaretz is tantamount to actually having consumed food from the Amaretz, because one thing leads to the next. There's a very real concern if they eat together that they will share the food. Therefore, it's not merely a gzera on top of another gzera. We view the combined meal as though the parish is actually eating from the Amaretz. And since he can't eat food from the Amaretz, because produce that belongs to Amaretz has the din of Tmai, there's a gzera d'rabbanan, so it's not considered like a gzera l'gzera. It's considered like one gzera, it's an extension of the gzera of not eating food from Amaretz. Eating together with him is as though you're actually eating his food. And therefore, it's not merely a remote concern where perhaps you can apply the concept of gzera l'gzera. This is also on account of that, and that's also on account of something else. In this case, Abaye holds eating together with him, one joint meal experience is as though he's actually eating food from Amaretz, which is also d'rabbanan. That's interesting. This svara, we find three times within the last three blot. This is the third blot in a row that we find the svara. We had this on Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. The Rishonim explain regarding the halacha of tefillin on Shabbos that although actually wearing tefillin on Shabbos is only issur midrabbanan, nevertheless the Gemara discussed the option of making an issur even erev Shabbos, very close to Shabbos, for concern that he might continue wearing the tefillin on Shabbos. The question is, isn't that a gzera l'gzera? Because wearing tefillin on Shabbos itself is only midrabbanan. And the Rishonim explained there as well, it is considered to be one gzera, chad gzera. Why? Because wearing tefillin so close to Shabbos, it carries with it a real concern, a very immediate chashash, that will continue wearing the tefillin on Shabbos itself. He's not going to remove it and put it down. There is a tircha, tefillin is a davar kodesh, he's not going to merely discard it. So there's a very real concern that if he wears it so close to Shabbos, that will continue wearing it on Shabbos. In that case, it's an issur d'rabbanan. So it's not considered like gzera, it's merely an extension of the issur to wear tefillin on Shabbos, not to wear it so close to Shabbos as well. We had the same svara on Daf Yud Aleph. Abaye held that even regarding issur d'rabbanan, a rishus d'rabbanan like a karmelis, nevertheless the Chacham applied gzera there as well. For instance, don't stand in rishus harabim and lean over yeshet roshay into the karmelis to drink, for concern that he might go ahead and bring the glass back to him where you're standing in rishus harabim. Although, if you were to do so, if you were to carry an item from a karmelis to Sarab, it's only issur d'rabbanan, it's only gzera d'rabbanan. So how come Abaye holds that there's another gzera not to even lean over and drink in a karmelis? As Rishonim explained there as well, it's merely an extension of the gzera of carrying from a karmelis. Since when one leans over to a karmelis, it's a very real concern, very real chashash, very immediate concern that he'll go ahead and bring the glass back with him. It's very natural to do so. Therefore, it's not like in a remote concern where perhaps we can say it's a gzera l'gzera, there's one gzera safeguard and acted on top of another safeguard. No, leaning over and drinking in a karmelis is tantamount, is equated to actually having this person leading this person into taking a glass from the Karmelis and bringing it into the Shusarabim, which is Asim Drabbanon. Therefore, it is considered to be Chad Gzera, not Gzera L'Gzera. So, in summary, we learned in the Mishnah, Lo Yoichal Hazavim Azava, why we play Hergel Arveira? And the Braisa added another case, a Parish should not eat with an Am Aretz. Even when they're both Tamei, they should not eat with each other. And Rava concluded, the Chashash is Shema Yachilenu Dvarim Tmeim V'mei Taharasai. We're concerned that the Am Aretz will eventually feed the Parish food which is Tamei when the Parish will already have attained his Tahara. Continues the Gemara, Iboilu. The Gemara asked the question. Now we learned in the Mishnah that a person who is a Zav shouldn't eat in unison with the Zava because it might lead to Aver. What about in the following case? Iboilu, Nida Mao Shetishan in Baila. And Nida, can she sleep together with her husband in one bed? He bevigda. She wearing clothing. Who bevigda? And him wearing clothing. So if they're both clothed, as Rashi explains, this is a shinui, this is a deviation from the norm. It was the norm to sleep without clothing. Rashi brings the pasuk, she'era ksusa v'inasa. The Gemara dasin she'era zekir of basar, closeness of flesh. And Rashi brings the Gemara ksuvais regarding the chiv oina. If a person will say, well, I can't do tashmish only when we're both wearing clothing, he's not fulfilling his responsibilities, his chiv of oina. We learned actually in brachis that it appears that their custom in those days was not to have pajamas. The Gemara speaks regarding reading Krishna in bed when a person is without clothing. So it appears that their general custom was not to have pajamas. Pajamas was a more recent invention. So the Gemara asks the following question. We know, certainly, a person is not allowed to conduct himself with kirva, with closeness, with intimacy to ishtei nida. What about lying in one bed, not in a form of kirva, in doing acts of intimacy, like chibik v'nishik, merely lying together, which certainly is asr midrabanan, as we will learn later in the Gemara. However, if there's a shinoi here, if there is some deviation of the norm to call attention to their state of impurity, a hacker, for instance, if she is bevigda, she is wearing her clothing, and who bevigda, he's wearing his clothing, are they allowed to do that or not? Again, says the Gemara Yibaylu, nida mao shatishan im baila. Is a nida allowed to sleep with her husband? B'mita achas, in one bed, he bevigda, v'hu bevigda. Amar Rav Yosef Tashma, I'll bring you a proof in the following brayse. Ha'oif oile imagvina la shulchan. Meat from a bird, fowl meat, can be brought up onto the same table, together with cheese. However, certainly they cannot be eaten together. This is the sheet of Beishamai who holds that since we know that min ha-Torah, mid-o-iraisa, there's only an Issa of Basa B'chalav eating together meat from an animal together with milk. We learn this from the Pasuk, Issa Vashel G'di B'chalev Imay, you mean I cook the meat from a goat together with the milk of its mother. The Gemara makes a drasha only regarding those species, those types of creatures whose mother produces milk. However, an oif, a bird, which doesn't have that phenomenon, is not asr, basar b'chalav. However, midrabanan, there's an isr basar b'chalav even by basar oif. Says Beishamai, since basar of oif, of a bird, basar oif b'chalav is only midrabanan, only exer drabanan. So certainly we don't eat them together. However, to merely bring them up onto the table together at the same point in time, that's not asr. That would be exer l'exer. Therefore, says Beishamai, oif oile mashgvina la shulchan. Meat from birds may be brought onto the table together with gvina with cheese. Ve'ena nechel, as long as it's not eaten together. Therefore, Beishamai, beisil oimim loy oile v'loy nechel. Not only can they not be eaten together, but we can't even bring them onto the table together. We're concerned that indeed one may mix them and eat them together. Now once again, we have a situation where we find, according to Beis Hillel, there's an Isser regarding a scenario which seems to be Gzera L'Gzera. How can Beis Hillel say one may not even bring Oif together with the Gvina on the table? Since if he were actually eat them together, it's only Issa D'Rabbanan, it's only Gzera D'Rabbanan. why did Rabbanan act an additional safeguard? It seems to be gzera. Here too, the Rishonim explain, as mentioned earlier, it's considered to be one gzera, an extension of the initial gzera, just as we may not eat together the basar oif v'chalav mid Rabbanan. Simply bringing them onto the table, that is tantamount to eating them together, because one thing leads to the next. If they're present together on the same table, chances are they'll be eaten together. And therefore, it's not merely a safeguard on top of another safeguard. It's considered to be an extension of the same iser of basar oif b'chalav. So in any case, Rabbi Yosef says, I have a raya from here, that just as we can't bring the basar together with the chalav on the table, similarly, regarding a nida, one may not be yoshin, sleep together with ishta nida, even if they're separated by clothing. Says the Gemara, how could you compare shani hasam? There it's different regarding the basar b'chalav. They're like a deus. There are no minds. It's one single person doing this. Therefore, since he's just one alone, there's a very real concern that he might mix things up. There's nobody there to remind him. However, in a case where we have more than one person, we have deis, we have two minds, two people who will remind each other, who will stand on guard and watch out for each other. In this case, perhaps it's mutter, like in our case, where the husband and his wife, they're two people. Perhaps in this case, they will remind each other, call attention to their impure state, and there's no problem. Rashi points out, the Gemara could have answered more simply. Here it's different because there's a shinoi. Since they're wearing clothing, this is a deviation from the norm and certainly calls attention to their situation. However, the Gemara opted to choose the more simple answer that we may simply differentiate between a case where it's one person or two people. This is very logical. When there are two minds, it certainly is different and more lenient. It says in the Sefer, regarding the halacha of basar b'chalav, two wayfarers, two guests, may indeed eat together on one table. One has his meat, and one has his cheese. There's no concern that they'll mix things up, that they'll share their food. Why? Apparently, since there are two people, they'll remind each other. Says Zigmar, 1 second. That is only in a unique situation. Vlav Itzmarla, haven't we learned on this halacha? Omar Avchanan, Bar Ami, Omar Shmo, Leishano. This leniency of two achzonoim, two wayfarers, that they are allowed to eat their basar and gvina one shulchan, that's only Ela She'ein Makirin Ze'aseh, because they don't know each other, and there's no concern that they'll share their food, they'll share their meal. Aval Makirin Ze'aseh, but if indeed they know each other, they're familiar with each other, Asurim, then indeed it is Asur. Since there is a concern, they may share their meal. Says Mavachinami, here too, between a husband and wife, they know each other, they're familiar with each other. In this case, even if there are two people here, there are deis, there are separate minds, nevertheless, still, the issa will apply. So the Gemara refutes this svara. You can't say that we can't prove from the leniency regarding the achsanayim, regarding the wayfarers, that when we have two minds, it's more lenient and it's allowed. And therefore, regarding an ish v'isha, it would be mutter. Says the Gemara, no. The case of achsanayim is very unique. It's specifically limited to a case when they don't know each other. In that case, there's no concern that they'll share their food. However, in our case, even though we're speaking about deis, two people, since the ish v'isha know each other, there's a concern that they will come to sin. Says it in 1 second. Hachi hashta. But now let's go ahead and draw another distinction. Hasam deis ika shini leka. In that case, although there are minds, there are two people, two achsanayim, and therefore there's a reason to be lenient. However, let's keep in mind, deis ika shini leka. There's no deviation, there's no shinui, there's nothing abnormal here. They're eating on the same table in a normal manner. Therefore, in that case, there's no room to be lenient if they are familiar with each other, because they might share their food. Hach and okay, says the Gemara. Ika deis, not only do we have two minds, two people, ika shinui. Not only Ikadeus. There's also the Ikashinui. There's a difference. There's a differentiation. There's something abnormal. There's a deviation from the norm. Since they are both wearing their clothing, which is a Shinui, this makes a statement. This calls to their attention to their situation. And therefore, perhaps, in our case, an Isha can indeed be Yoshin, be Mita Achas, when they're wearing their clothing, even when she is a Nida. Continues the Gemara, Ikad Amri. There's another version regarding the raya that Rav Yosef brought from this brisa. Rav Yosef actually brought a raya lechumra from this brisa. Tashma, Rav Shimon Leimer shnei achsanim, two wayfarers, two guests, oichlam shal echad, and allowed to eat on one table. Ze basav ze gvina. This one meat, this one cheese. Vitmar lo, and we had learned on this halacha. Amar Rav Chanan bar Ami Amar Shmuel lo yishanu. This heter, this leniency, is strictly in the following manner. El she'im akir ze ze. If they don't know each other, then they won't share their meal. Aval makir ze ze asar. But if they know each other, certainly it's asar, because in that case, there's a chashash that they might share their food. Concludes the Gemara. Says Rav Yosef, in this case, if so, I will bring a raya, a proof from this to our case, to asar our case. Vahani nami, in our case of an isha isha. They know each other, they're familiar with each other, and therefore in this case it will be asr for them to conduct themselves in this manner, since it may come l'day avera. So we have a right from this braisa actually to asr. Says the Gemara, no, you have no raya to asr our case, because there's a difference. Hosam deis ikah shini lek, in the case of the two guests, although there are two minds there and there's a reason to be lenient, nevertheless, there's no shini there. There's nothing abnormal. And therefore, it's asr. If they are familiar with each other. Hach, in our case, ikah deis v'ikah shini. Not only are there two minds, but there's a shini, there's a deviation taking place. And therefore, this calls attention to the state of nida, and they will not come to do aver. Perhaps, in this case, it will be mutter. It says the Gemara, Tashma, come and listen to the following rite. The Mishnah tells us, lo'ichel hazava ma'zava. The Zav should not eat in unison with the Zava. Why? Meshum Hergal Avera. Since there's a chashash that it may lead to sin. So here too, in our case, lying together will come to sin. Says the Gemara, no, Hachanami. Here too, we can make a distinction. Deis Ika Shini Leka. In this case of Leicha Azav Mazava, Hachanami, there are deis, although there are two minds, but Shini Leka, there's no deviation, and therefore it's Asr. If there would be a hacker, something which calls attention to their state, certainly they perhaps would be able to eat with each other. And in our case, since this is Shinoi, perhaps they may conduct themselves in this manner. Toshma says, Rav Yosef, I'll bring you a raya that it's not permitted. The pasuk in Chazkel says, Elohorim loy ochal ve'enav loy nosa, Elgulu beis Yisrael, he did not go ahead and partake in the food of the Avodah Zarah, ve'l'esh esrei eyu loy timei. So the pasuk says, the person did not eat from food of Avodah Zarah. Ve'enav le'nasa glu v'yisrael, he did not raise his eyes to Avodah Zarah. Finally, vel es esh esrei le'tima, he was not metame the esh esish. Vel nisha nida le'yikrav, and he will not come close to the isha nida. Says the Gemara, the pasuk joins together the two concepts, isha nida to esh esrei. What do we learn from this? Makish isha nida le'esh re'yu. The pasuk connects the two things. Ma esh re'yu, just as the wife of his friend, hu bebigda yevi bebigda asr, even lying together, when they're both in clothing, certainly it's asr. Taisa says it's a svara, since it's a har is very strong. In that case, Rashi says this is derived from the isra yichud. We know one is not meant to seclude himself with an eshes ish. Certainly in this case, lying together in a situation of heightened closeness is asr. So we know this for a fact, that lying together with Eishes Re'eu, even if they're both Bibgadim, would certainly be asr. Therefore we learn from here, we connect Ishte Nida to that as well. Af Ishte Nida, so to Isha Nida, hu bebigdai, vehi bebigdai asr. Even if they're both in clothing, it would be asr. Now we know, Taisus points out, that we can't connect the two concepts entirely. We know that although yichud, the issa yichud, is applicable to all our rice, but not Ishtenida. The Gemara learns from a pasuk, because Ishtenida will be mutal achazman, should be permitted to him after some time passes. In that case, the Yitzhar is not so powerful, and therefore there's no Issa Yichud regarding one's own wife, even when she's an Ida. So certainly regarding Yichud, we don't compare the two items. However, regarding Kirva, regarding lying together, the Gemara compares and connects the two things. Just as regarding Eishes Ish, one certainly cannot conduct himself in this manner, so too regarding Ishtei Nida, one cannot conduct himself in this manner, even lying together when they're both Bibgadim. Shema Mino, indeed, this is a Raya, that this is Asur. But indeed, the question remains, why? Why is this Asur? Since they are two Deyos, there's a Shina here, so why don't these two mitigating factors serve to alleviate the concern of them coming to Avera? Why is this different than the halacha of eating together, of lo yechal azav mazava? In that case, certainly, if there's a shinui, if there's any deviation from the norm which calls attention to their state, certainly it would be mutter. So why is this case of sheina b'mita achas different? We have two factors that serve to eliminate the concern of Avera. There are two deyas, two minds, two people, as well as the fact that there's a shinui here. Apparently, Rav Yosef holds that sheina b'mita achas is a situation that contains such a heightened sense of kurva, of closeness. Therefore, in this case, even a shinoi would not serve to alleviate the concern. As Mepharshim explained, that we know that minat Torah, certainly the tashmish is aser, actually having relations is aser. Also, krevel arayis, acts of intimacy like chibuk v'nishik, hugging and kissing, says the Rambam, is an iser minat Torah by an erva. However, mid Rabbanan added different situations of kirva, like eating together in unison, like sleeping together, even if they're not engaged in actual acts of intimacy. However, that's considered to be a kurva midrabbanan, which is asr. Rabbanan applied to lying together b'mita achas the same category of chibuk v'nishik, of kirva l'arayis, of acts of intimacy. It's different than merely eating together where shini helps. The case of yashan b'mita achas, lying together in one bed, contains such a heightened sense of closeness, of kirva. The Chachamim considered it to be tantamount to the actual Issa d'Araisa of kirva l'arayis, of acts of intimacy. And therefore we understand Rav Yosef's Isser, even in the case of Begodim, even when there's a Shinoi, the closeness is too real for allowing a Shinoi like Begodim to get in the way to alleviate that concern. And therefore we view it as though it's an act of kurva, of krevel arayis, since one thing leads to the next. And therefore the Chacham answered, even the case when they are Yishenim b'mita with their Begodim, when it's deviating from the norm. Kadina Zagmar, however, this Shita of Yosef is Pliga ad Rav Dos. It's disputing Rav Dos. Rav Dos held, no. And the case where they're Yishenim b'mita achas, but they are wearing their Begodim, there's a Shina here. In that case, there is no Isser, even with Rabban. Why? Rav Dos holds that only the actual Tashmish is Asur Minat Torah. However, all the types of Krevel Arayis, like Chibuk V'Nishuk, it's not Asur Minat Torah, it's only Rabbanan. Therefore, Rav Dos will hold that in our case, when there are Yishenu B'mita Achas, lying in bed, with a Shinu on top of that, there is Begadim there to call attention to their state. It's too far removed from the Issa D'Araisa, which is Tashmish. It's like a Gzera L'Gzera. Since Minat Torah, only the Tashmish is Asur. With Rabbanan, they prohibited other acts of Kirva. But this case is too far removed. Since there's a Shinoi as well, this is like a Gzera L'Gzera, and the Rabbanan would not apply the Issa in this case. Let's see inside. O Pliga D'Rav Dos, Rav Yosef, who prohibited the case of the Isha Isha with Begadim, is in dispute, is Chaylik on Rav Dos, Dom Rav Dos. Minat Torah, only thing that's asur is the actual Maisa Tashmish. Shenemar Ish Ish, a kol sheb sorai, to his relative, loisikru legalois erva. So Minat Torah, the only thing that's asur is the actual Gilei Arayis, actual relations. Midrabbanan, other forms of kirvar asur. However, when it's so far removed, it's a remote chashash, it's two steps, three steps removed from Gilei Arayis, they're lying with Begadim. In that case, even the Rabbanan does not apply any Isser in this case. it appears once again that Rav Yosef holds that engaging in this type of conduct, lying together, b'mita achas, is considered to be a ma'ase kurva mid'rabbanan. They consider it to be, they equated it to be like an act of intimacy. And therefore, even though it's so far removed, it's several steps from the issa Torah. They're lying with begadim, there's a shina here. Nevertheless, we don't differentiate between begadim and abgadim. The act of lying together, mita achas, is considered to be a ma'ase kurva, and therefore it is tantamount to krev la rais, which is usur, as the Rambam says, minat Torah. Acts of intimacy is usur minat Torah, according to Rav Yosef, and therefore, this case as well, is considered like an act of intimacy, and regardless of the fact that they have begadim, it is usur. So, once again, let's summarize the Gemara. We had a question regarding whether or not one may be yashen with a ishanida if they're both wearing begadim. The Gemara brought a raya from the halacha basar v'chalav. Oif, the basar oif together with gvina, is allowed to be brought on the table, according to b'shamayet, according to b'silil, no. So we see from there that there's a concern. Says the Gemara, that's different because there are no deis. There are no two minds there. In our case of an ish v'isha, there are two people that can remind each other. The Gemara proceeded with the halacha of achsaniyim, the ones, the wayfarers that are eating together on one table. And when they know each other, it's asr, because they might share their meal. If they are not makirin, in that case it's mutar. The Gemara says over there, even though it is asr when they know each other, there's no connection to our case of ish v'isha, because over there, although there are deis, there are two people involved, but there is no shinui, there's no deviation. Therefore, there's a very real concern that they'll get mixed up. Regarding our case of Huba Vigdoy and his wife and her beged, in our case, there are two mitigating factors. There are deis and there's a shinoi. And therefore, perhaps it will be mutter. Indeed, Rav Pedas says it's mutter. Rav Yosef says, no, it's us even in this case. And as the Mefarshim explained, since it is a situation of heightened closeness, heightened kirva between the Ishvi Isha, so, despite the fact that there's a shina here, that they're wearing their clothing, nevertheless, the Chachamim equated this situation to a case of intimacy, and therefore it is asr midrabbanan. Continue the Gemara. Ula, ki hava asim beirav, when he returned from the Beis Medrash, hava menashekul achvasei, he would give his sisters a kiss, abe chedai on their basim, v'amil abe yedai on their hands. So apparently he held it was mutter. As Jesus explains, he was very confident in his heightened state of spirituality that he will not come to anything inappropriate as a result of this behavior. The Rambam points out that this type of activity with this type of relative, where one doesn't have any pleasure, like a sister, minatur is mutter, and that was the reason for Ula's practice. However, it appears that Ula himself retracted and said as follows, Upliga didede, his practice, his custom seems to be chaylak, to be in dispute, to what he himself taught. Upliga didei adidei. Domar Ula taught, afilu shum kurva asr, any type of closeness is asr, with a relative, even to a sister, mishum lech lech, go away, amri nazir, we tell the nazir, schur schur, go around, lekarmel lesikrav, don't approach the vineyard, you're asr to drink wine, don't even get close, go around, go away. Keep a distance from a pitfall. So too, regarding Arias, one is meant to keep a great distance from Arias, and even in the case of a sister, one is not meant to conduct himself in this manner, and not to give even a sister a kiss. As Rama points out, it's not an issa d'iraisa, but nevertheless it's something which should not be done. Continues the Gemara, Tani Verlio, we learned and then Abraisa, the name of Eliyahu Navi. Maaseh b'Talmud Echad, was a story with one student, Shishana Harbe, he learned a lot of Mishnayis, Bekara Harbe, he learned a lot of Torah Shebachsav, Vishimesh Talmud Chacham Harbe, and he learned a lot of Gemara. He served the Chachamah, meaning he engaged in debate, in the practice of Gemara, of delving and analyzing the Mishnayis. So he was a great Torah scholar. Nevertheless, Umeis b'chatzi yamav, he died, when he reached half his years, he died young. His wife was so distraught, she would take his tefillin, she would make her rounds between the shuls and the bat midrashes, but Amralem, she told them, she challenged them, how could this tragedy have happened? Torah is your life. It brings longevity. Bali, my husband, Sheshana Harbi. He learned a lot of Mishnayis, Vikar Harbi, he learned a lot of Chumash Torah Shebichsav, Vishumash Tamil Chacham Harbi, and he learned a lot of Gemara. He engaged very intensely in Torah study. Why did he die young? Nobody was able to console her. Nobody had the ability to respond to her. Pamacha says, Aliyah Nabi in Sarachti Etzla. I was her guest. When I was in her home, she related to me the whole story, the whole episode. And I responded as follows, Ramartila, Biti, my daughter, let's investigate to the cause of this tragedy. Let me ask you a question. When you were Anita, Mao Etzlach, did he approach you? What was his mode of behavior? Amra li, so she responded, Chas v'shalem. Afilu metzbek tana lo nagabi, even in my small finger, he wouldn't dare touch. Okay. What about b'mei li bunich, Mao Etzlich? In the days of your libun, when you were an azava, and you need to count 7 clean days, those are called Yemei Libun, days of white, where the woman wears white. So what was the custom in your home during those days? So she said, yeah, sure. Achalimi, he ate with me. Vishasim, he drank with me. Vyashan imi, bekirim basa. And he slept together with me with closeness of flesh. But he also died to Aldavar Acher. But certainly, it didn't enter his mind. He didn't entertain Aldavar Acher to do Tashmish. Oh, says Eliyahu HaNavi, when I heard that, Vamartila, I responded to her, now I know the reason for his punishment. Vamartila, Baruch HaMakim Shehargoy, Baruch Hashem who killed him. Why? Shalein Asapanam LaTaira, because he didn't pay respect to the Torah. The Torah says that even in the state of Libun, Sharam HaTaira, Valisha Benidos Tumasa, like Sikrav, we're not meant to come close. And therefore, he deviated from the words of Torah, he transgressed his Isser, and therefore he incurred this punishment. Kiyasar of Dimi Omar, he related that the story took place as follows. Mitachada Havoi. They weren't actually so close with closeness of flesh, but merely they slept in one bed. And that was this Isser that he did. Marava Amri Yarsisho, they said as follows. Amri Abisal Bar Yosef, Sinor Mafsik, there was actually an apron from waist down, which was Mafsik, which separated Bina and Bina. So there was some sort of separation between them. So we have three slight deviations in the version of the story. Nevertheless, the concept is the same. He wasn't careful enough in keeping the laws of Harchaka from his impure wife. And therefore, Eliyahu HaNavi says, indeed, that was the reason that he experienced this consequence and he died young. Now, what was the thinking of this Talmud? He was a big Talmud Chacham, and indeed, why? Why would he even think of doing this Isser? Taisus has an interesting explanation. Rabbeinu Tam says that we know that in HaTorah, a woman who sees Dam is only Asr for 7 days, and after that she's Tevel and she's Tar. However, in the Rabbanan, we know that the Noshim, the Bnei Yisrael, were Mekabel HaAtzman, they accepted upon themselves a great stringency, that they considered themselves to be in a state of Ziva, regardless. And in that case, they need to be sefer shem nekim, count 7 clean days, and only after that are they toivel. Says Rabbeinu Tam, it was the custom to actually be toivel twice. Once at the end of the main nida min ha-Torah, when she becomes tar min ha-Torah. So they were toivel once, this was mitayr min ha-Torah, but then they maintained a state of impurity, of tumah min the rabbanon, until they completed their shiva nekim, and then they would be toivel again to be tar min the rabbanon. Says Rabbeinu Tam, this Talmud made a mistake. She was in her Yemei Libun already. She had already been Toivel after the 7th May Nida. She was already Toivel in HaTorah. She was only Toivel in the Rabbanon. And he figured, since it's only the Rabbanon, I may engage in certain behaviors of Kirva, which are only us in the Rabbanon. For instance, this halacha of Mitachada, only lie together in one bed, which is only a Kirva in the Rabbanon. It's not really engaging in the Issa Deraisa. It's only Zer Drabanan. And therefore, since she's only Asr Midrabanan, she had already been Tevel once. It's only Zer Midrabanan. So it's Mutter. Why? Because it's Zer Ligzera. That was the reason. That was his thinking. Apparently, he was very wrong. He made a grave mistake. And this can be explained based on the Svara that we had in Amud Aleph. Rav Yosef told us that even Lishon with Ishta Nida to sleep together, hu bebigda, he bebigda, is also asr. And as explained earlier from the Mefarshim, the Rabbanan equated lying together in a bed to an act of intimacy, since generally tashish begins with minor acts of kurva, one thing leads to the next. So even lying together, even with begadim, has the halach has the stringency of an act of intimacy like chibuk v'nishuk, and therefore it's also with the Rabbanan. Therefore, in this case as well, it's not a gzera l'gzera, an act of kirva, a behavior of kirva, even lying together with mita achas, is tantamount, is equated to krever la'arayis, to an act of intimacy, and therefore it's usr. It's not a gzera l'gzera, even when she's only usr mit rabbanon. This is considered in the same level as krever la'arayis, as an act of intimacy, and therefore it is usr. It is usr even when she is merely usr mid rabbanon, and therefore he experienced a grave punishment, a grave einish, because he wasn't noisy panam la Torah. As the Ran points out, even though it's issur mid rabbanon, nevertheless he received a punishment. As we know, one who's over issur rabbanon, pirates gather, one who breaches the gather, the fence, the safeguards of the rabbanon, yishchenu nachash, he can suffer, he's liable to death. Continues the Gemara, ve'elu min halachos she'amru, and these were from those halachos that were said by Elias, Hananiah, and Chizkiah in the upper chamber of Hananiah, and Chizkiah, and Gorim, she'alu levakri, when they went up to visit him. So these are from those halachos. The Gemara will explain exactly what we're referring to, which halachos. So apparently they went to visit Hananiah, and Chizkiah, who was up in the Aliyah. And what happened during that episode? Nimnu v'rabu b'sham b'sil. So they took count. They counted those that were present. There was machlokes, disputes going on between the groups of b'shamay and b'silal, and they needed to conclude. So we know min ha-Torah achiram lahatos, we follow the majority. So indeed, they took count. Nimnu, they counted, and it turns out that at that moment there were more from b'shamay present than b'silal, and therefore the halacha was followed accordingly. Nimnu v'rabu b'shama b'silul, and indeed they concluded with 18 decrees, 18 zeres, v'yidches dvorim, gazru b'bayayim. Continue the Gemara. Amalei abayla v'yosef. Eilu t'nan, oy ve'eilu t'nan. The Mishnah begins with the words ve'eilu t'nan. How do we read it? Ve'eilu with a vav, or without a vav? What is the difference? Ve'eilu t'nan, do we read it with a vav? And it connects back to some halachas mentioned in the previous Mishnah. Those that were mentioned in the previous Mishnah. For instance, the halacha of lo yifales kelev, of lo yikrilo laner, one may not read or clean his garment from the lice in front of a lamp. Those are also part of the gzeres, the 18 gzeres, so referring back to the previous Mishnah. Or do we read it with adavav? It's not referring back to the previously mentioned halachas, but rather referring forward, the Be'inu L'meimu L'kaman, it's referring to the halachas that we were going to mention forthcoming, the forthcoming halachas, going forward. Now, Tosis brings the Rashi in the beginning of Ve'ela Mishpatim. Rashi also makes this point that Ve'ela Mishpatim, since it has a Vav, which precedes the Ela, it's referring to back, it's connecting back to something mentioned previously, Ve'ela Moisef Al Rishonis. Here too, the word ve'elu with a vav is connecting back to the previous Mishnah. So how are we meant to read it? Are those halachas mentioned earlier included in these gzeres or not? Tashma, come and listen. The Braisa says, ein poilin le'aner, we're not meant to clean our clothing from lice in front of the lamp. Ve'ein poilin le'aner, also not read in front of the lamp. And the Braisa concludes, ve'elu min halachas. These indeed are from those halachas, she'amru, that were said by Elias, Hananiah ben Chizkiah ben Gorin, shma mino. So it's pretty clear from here that the halachas mentioned in the previous Mishnah are included in this list, and therefore we were meant to read ve'elu t'nan shmamina ve'elu to connect to those halachas as well. Tana Rabbanan, mi kasav Megillas Tainis. Who wrote this scroll called Megillas Tainis, which contains a list of days which are yamim tovim, which are observed on account of Hashem's deliverance from various misfortunate tzaris the nis and the miracles Hashem performed for us when He delivered us from those tzoris. And we're meant to refrain from conducting fasts on those days. We're meant to observe them as Yomim Tovim. So who wrote this Megillah? Rashi explains that in those days prior to Rabbi HaKadosh, there was no Torah Shebal Peh written. There was actually an Issa to write down the oral Torah. However, this Megillah was an exception. This was contained a list of days which were meant to be observed as Yom Tovim. So who wrote this Megillah? Amru Chananya ben Chizkiah v'Siyatoi, Chananya ben Chizkiah and his group, Shema Chavim ben Satzoris, Tzoris were very dear to them. Misfortunes and troubles were very dear to them. They cherished the Tzoris. Rashi explains, they cherished the Tzoris on account of the fact that Hashem performed miracles and delivered us from those Tzoris. So they cherished the Tzoris, meaning they cherished the miracles that ensued, that followed those Tzoris. And therefore, they compiled the entire list of all those events which are meant to be observed as Yom Tov. Amar Rav Shimon Gamliel, Af Anu Mechavim Satzoris, we also cherish. Aval Ma Nasa, what can we do? Shem Bono Lichtev, if we're going to write all the days that we've experienced miracles as a result, subsequent to Tzoris, Eino No Maspikin, there's so many, we won't manage, we won't be able to observe all of them. There's so many. Since we have so many tzaras and so many nisim, davar acher, another reason why we don't compile a list, ein shayta nifka, an imbecile doesn't get affected, doesn't feel attacked. We're so desensitized, and we don't even feel the tzaras that we experience, the nisim that we experience. Davar acher, ein besar hameis margish beizmil, the flesh of a dead person doesn't feel the pain of the scalpel cutting into it. We're so desensitized. We don't even have true appreciation of the nisim that we experience. Says Umar, is that true that a mace doesn't feel any of Amar Bitzel Kosharim la mace? It is difficult and painful. The rima, the worms who bore into the flesh of the mace, kemachat basar chai, like the pin poking into the pricking the flesh of a live person, shenemar achm sorel of yichav, his flesh will pain him of nafshol of tevel, and his Nefesh will mourn him. So we see that even a mace experiences pain. Says my Ema say as follows: Ein basar ha-mace, the dead flesh in a chai will not feel. Certainly, a mace himself, a person who passed away, feels the pain. But flesh which is dead, which a chai contains, the dead flesh on a living person, it's desensitized. Doesn't feel the ismail. Doesn't feel the scalpel cutting into it. So too, we don't feel. We're not sensitive. But desensitized, we don't have a true appreciation of the nisim that we experience. So Chananya was the one who compiled, Chananya and Siyatai and his group was the one who compiled Megillas Tainis. Continues the Gemara another thing regarding Chananya. Amar Avida Amarav, Baram, indeed, truthfully, Zohar, Oisa Ishla Toiv. This man, who we remembered for good, Chananya ben Chizkiah Shmoi, why? Shel Malehu, if not for him, Nignaz Sefer Yecheskel. The entire Sefer Yecheskel would have been buried, would have been committed to the archives, would have been hidden. Why? Sheyudvariv, because the words, some passages contained in Sefer Yecheskel appear to be soicher in the Devei Torah. They were obscure passages that seem to contradict the halachas, the words of the Torah. Ma'asa, what did Chananya do? Heloloi, they went ahead and they brought up for him Gimel Meyis Garbi Shemen, 300 flasks of oil. Marsha says 300 is a term that the Chum used many times, meaning a large amount of oil, a huge supply to supply for his lighting and consumption needs. And he went up to the Aliyah, Yoshev Ba'aliyah, went up to the upper chamber and he engaged in an intense period of study to expound and explain Vidarshan, and he darshan the words of Sefer Yecheskel to shed light and to reconcile his words with the words of the Torah, so that there be no contradiction, and it be acceptable. And indeed, as a result, Sefer Yecheskel was not committed to the Gniza, but rather is learnt up until this day. So indeed, it seems that during this period of intense study in the Aliyah, they went to visit him. This episode in the Mishnah, described in the Mishnah, where the Beis Shammai Beis Hillel went up to visit him, it took place during this period of intense Torah study when he was up in the Aliyah. And during that time, when they came to visit him, the 18 gzeiros were enacted. So what were the Shmoneh Esrei Davar, says the Gemara, the Shmoneh Esrei Davar Gazru? Ma'aninu, Shmoneh Esrei Davar. What are they? So we already have two of them, which is the reading and the cleaning the garments in front of the lamp. Says the Mishnah, Disnan. This Mishnah will have another eight. Elu Paisel Esachuma. The Chacham made a gzeir that these following eight things should bring psul. They should invalidate truma if come into contact with truma. And we know that there's something called an avatuma. For instance, a sheretz, a dead mouse or a lizard, is considered to be an avatuma, the source of tuma. If that touches something, it passes on tuma, and that becomes a rishalatuma. That could be passed on to something else for a shemilatuma. So regarding chulin, something which is not truma or kachim, it will only stop at that point. It can only become up until a shemilatuma. Truma can go a step further. Truma, it contains a heightened sensitivity to tuma, and it actually can become puzzle, even if it touches a sheni l'tuma. It becomes puzzle, but not tummy, meaning it itself is invalid. It cannot be eaten. It is not considered to be truma tahira. However, it cannot pass on tuma to something else. It's merely puzzle. So again, regarding chulin, it can only go up until a sheni l'tuma. Regarding truma, it can go a step further, can become a shlishi, and that will pasal the truma. Kachim, karbanos, that is even on a higher sensitivity, it's a higher grade, and that can even go a step further, and it can become a revi. Says the Mishnah, the following things can make a truma pasal. If they touch truma, it can make a pasal. And these are some of these 18 gzeiros. It is midrabanan that these items have the ability to make truma pasal. What are they? If an individual eats food which is a rishon l'tuma, so he becomes tamei, and if he touches truma, he is paisel satruma. Or ha'ichel sheni, if this person eats ichel sheni food which is a sheni l'tuma, or hashoyse if he drinks mashkin tmeim liquids which are tamei. Rashi explains this is merely midrabanan, since min ha'Torah certainly a person can never become tamei from eichlin or mashkin, from foods or drinks. It can only become tummy from an item which is an avatuma. And eichlin or mashkin, foods or drinks, can never become an avatuma. So therefore, when the Mishnah tells us that if a person eats food which is a rishon, or food which is a sheni l'tuma, or he drinks liquids which are rishon and sheni, so ordinarily, foods and liquids are not an avatuma. Only if it's a mashka from a zav, for instance, the saliva of a zav, but ordinary liquids can never become an avatuma, and therefore this is merely midrabanan. It's a tumah midrabanan. If he eats a certain amount of food which is tamei, Rashi says like two beitzim, he becomes in a state of tumah that he can pasal truma. So this is a din midrabanan. So we have three examples, three gzeiros. One who eats food which is originally tumah. He eats food which is a shemil tumah. Who he drinks mashkin tumei. What is another example of a gzeira d'rabbanon? V'haba roisha v'rubu b'mayim shuvin. If one enters a bath, his roisha, his head, and most of his body enters mayim shuvin, water which was drawn into a utensil which is not connected to the ground, not spring water, or well water. It's mayim shuvin. In this case, if he enters it, he becomes tumei. Rashi explains, referring to one who was already tumei. And he became tar, he was tovel in a legitimate mikvah, and then afterwards he went and entered this mayim shuvim. He becomes tameh. The Gemara later will explain the reason and the basis for all these gzeiros. So this is another gzeira. This person becomes tameh, and he can pasal truma if he touches it. V'tar, a person, ordinary person who's tar, shenafla v'yishiv v'ruba yishlei shlugim mayim shuvim. If three lugim of mayim shuvim falls on him, spills over him, over his head and most of his body, he becomes tamei and he can pasal truma. That's safer. A safer of parchment, of teirim ksuvim. It also has a din that is pasal es truma. Vayadayim, hands, plain hands which were not washed, they have a din that they are pasal truma. That's full yayim, a person who was tamei and he was toivel, but he has not yet experienced hair shemesh, it's prior to nightfall, he also is considered to be tamei. And finally, va'uchlim, va'kelim, shenitmu mashkin. food or utensils that became tameh with mashkim, they too have a din that they can pass al truma. And once again, the Gemara later will explain the details and the basis, the background for all these halachis. So let's perhaps make a quick summary for today's daf. So we began with the halacha of lo yoichal hazav mazava. They should not eat together unison because it might lead to avera. Regarding a parish, a person who is careful, a scrupulous person is careful from eating his food betuma, he should not eat together with amaretz, as Rav explained, because the amaretz might become accustomed to his company, and eventually, when the parish becomes tar, he might be fed dvarim tameim by the amaretz. Therefore, even when they are both tamei, they may not eat it with each other. The Gemara proceeded with the question. We know that a person may not sleep together with a ishtei nida in one bed. It's a situation of heightened closeness. It is asa midrabban, even if they are not engaged in an act of intimacy, like chibuk v'nishuk. However, in a case where there's a shinui, where they're both lying in clothing, is that permitted? The Gemara brought a raya from the halacha that one may not bring onto one table food like meat from an oif, together with gvina, with cheese, according to Basil, we may not even bring it up on the table. So perhaps it's a riot to us as well. There's a concern that it might lead to sin. Says the Gemara, there is different because there are no deis. It's one person on his own. Regarding Isha, there are two individuals, two minds. They'll be careful. They'll remind each other. The Gemara brought the halacha of Shnei Achsinoim, two wayfarers that may eat together basar and gvina only if they are not makirim, but if they know each other, they're familiar with each other, there's a concern they might share their meal. Here too, regarding an Isha, there's a concern they're familiar with each other, they're close with each other. They might come to engage in tashmish. Says the Gemara, there is different. Because although there are two people, achsanayim, but there are no shinui, there's no difference, there's no deviation. There's nothing to call attention. Therefore it's asr, in our case, since it's a deviation, they're both wearing clothing, perhaps it's mutter. Finally, the Gemara says, even in this case, it's asr contra v'yosef, even though there are deis, and there's a shinui, it's asr, even though contra v'das, it's mutter. However, contra v'yosef, it's asr, whether or not there's a shinui taking place or not. The situation, this scene, this scenario of an isha lying together in bed is a situation which consists of a heightened sense of closeness, a kirva, which is asr midraban, even when there's a shinoi, when they're both wearing clothing. However, regarding eating together, in that case, as long as there's a shinoi, eating together is not really a heightened sense of kirva, and therefore a shinoi is sufficient to mitigate and to alleviate the concern. In that case, it's mutter. Then we'll proceed with a Talmud that was Meis v'chatziyom of Eliyahu, concluded that the reason for his punishment was he wasn't careful, he wasn't meticulous with his distancing himself from his ishtei nida. And as we're in Talmud, even though it was only the Rabbanon, nevertheless, he incurred a grave punishment. The Gemara proceeded with the story of Chananim and Chizkim and Gorin, who went up to the attic to expound and elucidate on Sefer Yecheskel. He was the one who wrote the Megillas Tainus, him and his group. And finally, when he was up in the Aliyah, that's when the episode of the Talmidei Beis Shammai Sil took place. They had a machlokes regarding various halachis, and they concluded with 18 gzeiros, or 18 gzeiros, gazru bay bayim.